Blog Talk Radio.
Warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. Hello, I am Pam Ray, and tonight's show is our central poet. I am a poet on all poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. If anybody would like to call in and, call in to read and comment or to, share a sensual poem, as long as it's not vulgar or explicit, I would be happy to hear from you. Now, tonight's topic is actually imagination and curiosity. I did is ran a contest on All Poetry with a variety of quotes. Those quotes were, "I don't have a dirty mind, I have a sexy imagination. Curiosity is the lust of the mind. The most erotic zone is the imagination. Curiosity is the most powerful thing you own. What to leave up to the reader's imagination," which was actually the title of a book, but I still thought it made a good prompt. "The cure for boredom is curiosity. There is no cure for curiosity. Reality leaves a lot to the imagination. Art is the sex of the imagination. Curiosity is one of the forms of feminine bravery. What is erotic? The acrobatic play of the imagination, the sea of memories in which we bathe, the way we caress and worship things with our eyes, our willingness to be stirred by the sight of the voluptuous. What is erotic is our passion for the liveliness of life. I like photographs which leave something to the imagination, and the power of the imagination makes us infinite." So, some of those prompts weren't particularly, sensual themselves, but I always kind of like to put up prompts that are, sometimes I like to put up prompts that are a bit different to see what people get from them. And so also, I probably should mention that you should check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And I would also like to mention that my thoughts and prayers go out for my co-host who can't make it tonight because, for her best friend's family, her best friend's father just passed away tonight, and Naomi is going to go be with her, which, I think it's important when you have a best friend that's like family and, their father passes away that you absolutely must be there for them. So for Naomi, for her travels, for her best friend and her best friend's family, they are all in my thoughts and prayers. And I hope, people will send out whatever they can for them. And, but I am definitely looking forward to tonight's poetry. I got a wonderful lineup, quality and quantity, nothing better to ask for. And, so absolutely, absolutely stunning poetry tonight that I'm looking forward to. And it's fun, too. There's some fun stuff because, imagination and curiosity is definitely a fun topic. And with that being said, let's go ahead and start digging in. And, as I said, readers and commenters are always welcome. And up first, we actually have a carryover from our gold contest, which was last week. This is one I apologize for missing last week, but we get the honor of hearing it today. So this is Unchained Melody by Eric Svensson. And Eric was nice enough to provide us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Unchained melody, pubescent proclivity for possibilities. Prophet by Caduceus bearing card. Hail Hermes, goldenrod with serpents entwined. Wings upon a skull cap. Psychopomp sat before me when I woke from a deranged dream. Been mining for a heart of gold, searched high and low, traversed borders, boundaries, and endless countries. Occidental, accidental, ever-questing mentalist. Therapist said, first find your golden heart within. Mudhera Sun Temple, Gujarat, tracked from Nantucket to Nepal. Meager golden heart nuggets obtained. Silver charm trinkets were aplenty. Superficial banter barter. Market trickery by conjurers. Burn, burn, burn. O love's ring of fire, consume me on your funeral pyre. Awoke in a dazed mind maze, exasperating Indian summer heat led to sunstroke. Beggar without a bowl, I swooned, crooned gibberish in the Mudhera Sun Temple in Gujarat. Winged sandals, golden caduceus, winged skullcap Hermes alighted before me. Sanity instantly returned to my deranged mind. Caduceus bearing cad doused my heart with his rod. Pubescent proclivity for possibilities lie within, not without. You sound like my therapist. With dragonfly agility, Hermes lifted me in his arms, carried me around the sun temple walls. Sensual sculpted figures engaged in erotic positions. Something within me quickened. The messenger god of phallic boundaries sends this. Later, in the shade of a juniper tree, golden Hermes concluded, your heart quickened in there, lotus bloomed wide open. Now your golden soul cord oscillates beyond pleasing outer physical manifestation. Mine no more for hearts of gold in the outer world. Unchained melody remains unchanged through eons, my friend. I blink quick, Hermes was gone. Before me sat a quirky beggar in saffron robes with a begging bowl, end poem.
Wonderful read and write, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call into a show, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And since it's just me for the time being, I am going to try to give Eric and anybody else I comment on a comment worthy of their poetry, which I don't make any promises. You know, you don't get a refund, but hey, I will do my best to share my thoughts. Well, first of all, as always, you know, Eric has a wonderful metaphors, imagery, alliteration, and what I like to call playing with words. You can just tell when somebody has fun. I just am really intrigued by the word psychopomp. To me, it's one of the cleverest words I've ever seen. Golden rod with serpents entwined, wings upon a skull cap. There's something just very intriguing and sensual. I like that he brings Hermes in, the messenger of the gods, you know. And it just, for some reason, when I think of somebody bringing in Hermes, a messenger of the gods, it makes me think of the song, you know, Mr. Postman, bring me a dream, make him the sweetest that I've ever seen. You know, it just does. And I probably shouldn't have sung, but I did. So, all right. So anyways, all throughout, wonderful imagery. But what I really like about this is that the main message you get across is someone who's seeking, you know, someone who's looking for love. And in fact, he even says in this line, been mining for a heart of gold, searching high and low. You know, it's not just about looking for someone who's physically appealing to you. It's about someone whose heart is one of gold, about someone who, whose spirit connects with yours. I also really liked that a nod to the Johnny Cash song, Ring of Fire. I thought that was very cool. And one other part I'd like to point out that I really liked, your heart quickened in there, lotus loomed wide open, now your golden soul core oscillates beyond pleasing outer physical manifestations. Mine no more for hearts of gold in the outer world, unchained melody remains unchanged through eons, my friend. And what wonderful advice given from the god Hermes. What a wonderful message to be delivered, that you no longer have to look for love because you have found it. So just a wonderful rite and very well done. And all right. And that was the one carryover from goal. And up next, we have, let's see what we have next. All right. I think we'll go like this. I do have a few sound clouds, which is nice. I believe we ended up with 6 total of recordings, which is good. But I don't want to quite delve into one yet, so other than the carryover. All right. So with that being said, up next, we have Curiosity Cures and Is So Amazing by Bookworm Dave. And it goes like this. Her wheat-colored hair flew in the wind with a scent that led me to find out more. She confided she was curious. She never had a man nor a boy take interest in her. Staring at her hazel eyes, I was confused. Her body was not a knockout, but her mind there lay... the beauty, writing how she wanted to be a woman. To do, thinking. I'm just not 100% sure about this one. I'm just gonna be honest. You know, it's me alone, I'm just not 100% sure about this one, so I'm going to hold off on that. And with that being said, my apologies, and I should have read that ahead of time. And all right, so I'm going to go ahead. And I'm going to put up another poem, And all right, and I'm gonna do something real quick. Yep, talking out loud to myself, which is probably a good thing since I'm on the radio. All right, here we go. This is Jazz Me With Your Mind by Tomahawk. And it goes like this. Boy, you have the skills to pay all of the bills. Everything about you is deliciously in sync. But what if I said to ample make this bed, but not how to move, but more how to think? Anyone can use touch, just fondling around and such. I prefer your words first. Give me a verbal ablation, because your silver tongue will show me if you're hung, old trousers show, honey. That's a foregone conclusion. And as steady as you go, one thing you should know, when I get heated up, I simply never cool down. Hit me with passionate flow, so you'll stand tall, you know. It's not a dress rehearsal. I'm not fooling around, because this lady is clever, and before her endeavor, she wants to be taken by words of a serious kind. Then when I get started, you better not be half-hearted. I get super critical fast. Come on, jazz me with your mind. End poem. And I have to say, I really enjoyed that one. You know, first of all, kudos to Tomahawk for writing from a woman's perspective. I don't often write from a male perspective. I should try it more. You know, and I always admire people who write from an opposite sex perspective. I really enjoyed this all the way through. I enjoyed the phrase, jazz me with your mind. And I so have to agree. There's a humor to this. It's got, with the rhyme, the flow, and the word choices, there's a lightheartedness and a humor to it. But it also makes a great serious message. And I have to agree. And that is that intelligence is sexy. And that playing with words is sexy, and knowing the right thing to say, you know, and conversation, making conversation, you know, and learning about somebody and having them show an interest in learning about you is just absolutely, absolutely sexy. I really like, anyone can use touch, just fondling around and such. I prefer your words first. Give me a verbal ablution. And I also like, and hit me with a passionate flow so you'll stand tall, you know. It's not a dress rehearsal. I'm not fooling around. And then when I get started, you better not be half-hearted. You know, I like that. I want to give you my full attention. I want your full attention. And, you know, I want the conversation. I want the words that make me think. Just really an excellent write. Beautifully written and very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. All right. So, all right. And up next we have Senses by EJ Cool. And we do have a recording for that. So here we go.
Senses by EJ Cool. I want to run my fingers through those perfectly wild chocolate curls, gently twirling velvet swirls. I want to taste the sin of your skin, every milky sip, every glistening dewdrop drip that slowly slips from your swollen, throbbing tip. I want to hear your song, melodic, heavy breathing underneath my body gleaming. I want your scent to complement my intent. Pheromone orchestra written in the sky, symphonic senses set fire to the night.
Wonderful read and write, EJ. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I love the imagery in this. I want to run my fingers through those perfectly wild chocolate curls. Oh my goodness, you can just imagine that dark, curly hair. And wonderful illusion and metaphor. Every milky sip, every glistening dewdrop drip that slowly slips from your swollen, throbbing tip. Love, really enjoy and appreciate the sensuality in this. I really like that she does bring in the different senses, and it fits well with the title of the poem. There's a really nice flow to this. You know, I like that it's not just about touch, but about the taste and the hearing and the scent. I'm particularly a big fan of scent being brought in. I want your scent to complement my intent. Pheromone orchestra. That is a wonderful phrase. Pheromone orchestra written in the sky. You know, to want to, you know, breathe in the scent of your lover, I think is just a beautiful moment in sensuality. So absolutely an amazing write and very well done. And yes, I absolutely do appreciate that, EJ. Wonderful write. And all right, let's see what we have next. All right, and la 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 la. All right, up next we have Character Bonding by My Angel 3. And it goes like this. She was one who connected with the fictional characters she read about and watched. She connected with Elizabeth Bennet and her fondness of reading and walking, shy yet direct as well, wearing her heart on her sleeves, yet being cautious. She connected with Alice, who was so lost. She found solace in tea friends in another land. She cried when things got too overwhelming. Yet she was so very curious and stubborn. She connected with Wendy, the girl that Peter Pan couldn't make up his mind about, yet took her flying, passing stars and mermaids, very motherly and protective, and waited for Peter to return until she gave up. She connected with Maleficent when she burned down bridges of those who wronged her and turned into a dragon when pushed in a corner. She connected with Sleeping Beauty, for she loved to sleep. That's the only place she was free from her thoughts swirling in her mind. She was like Daisy, childlike and naive, a fool for love, but Gatsby loved her with every fiber in his being. She connected with Dorothy, finding a home not in a place, but in the people she loved, and she didn't have to go far to find it. She was like Dexter, dark and secretive, only showing her true self and her darkness to a select few. And she felt safe and comfortable enough with to know the real her behind those sad closed-in eyes. Lastly, she was like Darcy, pouring her heart out on her sleeve, open, honest, and raw, full disclosure of her emotion to the one she loved the most. She was smart, yet vulnerable. She was like so many all-in-one. There are many facts that make her her. Only he sees all of her. He gets everyone she is, and then some. End poem. And that was inspired by the quote The Power of Imagination Makes Us Infinite by John Muir. And I think there was a similar style poem that had a similar theme in one of mine and Rex's After Midnight shows, which I really liked. I liked the connection between someone and, you know, being a person who likes to read myself, I like the connection between a person and the fictional characters that mean so much to them. You know, I like how she shows that a woman has, you know, many different personalities. You know, I wouldn't say this is necessarily a sensual rite, but it is beautifully written. And there is a kind of a romance to it because, you know, it's about somebody who is, you know, has so much about them that they, some things they keep and some things they show. And I love the different characters she goes through, especially Maleficent and Elizabeth Bennet and Alice in Wonderland are some of my favorites. Even Daisy from, you know, and The Great Gatsby. You know, but what really wraps it up nicely and gives it that romance is, but only he sees all of her. He gets everyone she is and then some, you know, too, because we don't always show every part of ourselves to every person. And when you have that one person in your life that is truly special to you, then, you know, they just, you have that one person that is truly special to you, and you're willing, you can trust them enough to show everything, every part of yourself to them, then that is a wonderful thing to have. So nice right there, my angel. Thank you for that. And all right. And looking. Let's see. Aha. And I think that up next we will do, here we go. This one. All right. Getting that in Late Night Poets. All right. And up next we have Frottage by Anton Ansford, 37. And it goes like this. The sexiest erotic video I ever saw had no nudity, visible touching, let alone penetration. Just this man gets on a bus behind the long-haired woman. Bus shaking, pushes them together. He backs away politely. She moves so it happens again. She gives him a radiant smile. Again, it happens. She shakes her hair, smiles again, and gives him something. It could be gum or her number, perhaps. We are only certain who they will think of the next time they are alone. And poem. I have to say, that is a beautiful, beautiful and clever brevity. And he has written to prompt one, which is, I don't have a dirty mind, I have a sexy imagination. And he did put, though, in his AN, prompt one or all connecting Eros and Psyche. I like that he connects the sensual love with the mind. And, you know, I have to agree, you know, sometimes it's those teasing moments, you know, especially in a movie, like, you know, you don't necessarily want to see all out tacky, you know, erotic nudity. You know, sometimes it's that when you see two people, it's a moment, this makes you think of that moment of flirting, that moment of just a tease, and I really like, you know, the interaction that's done with without any noticeable speaking. She gives him a radiant smile. Again, it happens. She shakes her hair, smiles again, and gives him something. And we can't quite tell what it is. But one thing we know for certain, as he says in the end of his poem, we know who they will be thinking of the next time they are alone. And just a wonderful, it's a capture of a moment of flirtation and feeling attractive. So thank you, Anton, for sharing that with us. Wonderful brevity and very well done. All right. And up next we have Gone by Weaver of Dreams, which I will get into Late Night Poets, and is another one that has a SoundCloud. And there's the link in Late Night Poets. If anybody from All Poetry is listening in and would like to call, the number is 515-605-9826. Readers and commenters are always welcome. All right. And I'll go ahead, mosey on over to the studio and push play on Weaver's poem.
It is almost midnight, and yet here I am, my limbs heavy, eyes bright, awake. Sleep eludes me, unsurprisingly. My need to be touched leaves an ache. I whisper, "Where are you? I want you." I hear on a soft breath, "I am always near, my love. I sob with my need for you. To feel your body next to mine, I would give the world." Hard muscles, soft skin, knowing fingertips, arousing needs and feelings, long dormant, twitch and tingle again. I imagine the urgency, spiraling towards release at last. Only you slow the race, then quicken the pace once more. It's akin to pseudo-sadism, but I've no choice. I acquiesce. It is then that I awaken, and you are gone, lost in my imagination.
Wonderful read and write, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Weaver has such a beautiful reading voice. And she wrote to the quote, "The most erotic zone is the imagination," by Vivian Westwood. It's not easy, I think, in my opinion, to combine sadness and sensuality. But she does it beautifully in this. There's this intertwining, this interweaving, which works perfectly with her name, of sensuality and sadness. You can just imagine somebody laying in bed. And to me, I get the idea of someone who has lost their significant other or lost a lover to death. And, you know, you can just imagine them laying in bed, not being able to sleep. Asking these questions like, "Where are you? I want you. My need to be touched leaves an ache. I whisper, where are you? I want you. I hear on a soft breath, I am always near, my love." And to feel that, you know, emotional connection in the mind, but know that it's not there. Also, wonderful use of the word pseudo-sadism. "Only you know the race, then quicken the pace once more" is akin to pseudo-sadism, "but I've no choice," I acquiesce. "Is then I awaken, you're gone, lost in my imagination." Like I said, it's a beautiful depth of emotion on love and loss and the ache for somebody. So, and beautifully written. and very well done. And all right. And let's see what we got next. And up next, we have Parched Lips by Jessica D. And it goes like this. Parched lips cracked by incandescent ardor seek tongued hydration. Scarred hand winds tangles in your hair, pulling your aquiferous lips to satiate mine. Melting inside your mouth, fingertips exploring soft sun-kissed neck, leaving fingerprints like shallow dents in pristine sand. Breath shared back and forth like a steam piston cycling as the kiss stretches ever longer, deeper than underwater canyons of luminous attractors. End poem. And that is absolutely a stunning, stunning sensual rite. I love the imagery and metaphors. I love how there is a consistency within the metaphors that I find, you know, adds to the professionalism of the poem. You know, first, you know, you start out with those parched lips, and the parched lips themselves, you know, are a wonderful metaphor, you know, for the idea of craving someone so desperately. But then you get into imagery that is liquid, fluid, water, you know, hydration, aquiferous, you know, even melting makes you think of water, which, so I like that. I love the imagery in melting inside your mouth, fingertips exploring sun-kissed neck, leaving fingerprints like shallow dents and pristine sands. Shallow dents in pristine sand is such a wonderful way to describe holding on to a lover's, you know, neck or any part of their body. You know, you can imagine the hands on a thigh and, you know, just you can imagine the hands on thigh pressing, the fingertips pressing in and leaving those dents on the soft sand-colored flesh. So just a beautiful, seductive rite on sensuality, you know, on the attraction to somebody. So beautifully written and very well done, Jessica. I'm glad you were inspired. Thank you for sharing that with us. And let's see what we have next. So much good poetry to choose from. It's difficult to choose. All right. So let's see here. Let's go with, let's go with another SoundCloud. Yes, there we go. I'm going to grab that and go back to Late Night Poets, and all right, up next we have Of Seeds and Soil by Crest Herset, and I'm going to go ahead, find that recording, and push play.
Of Seeds and Soil. No, mon amour, I don't have a dirty mind, unless you mean dirt, as in soil, rich, deep, and fertile, like loam, full of nutrients to feed foraging tubers, the soil of a garden where wild things thrive, with a hothouse of plants not trimmed and pruned, but sprawling, lush, and buzzing with beds for black-bearded irises, or the foxgloves I slip on my fingers to caress the rugged bark of your muscle wood, and of meadows where I grow slithering, tickle my fancy flowers. So my hornbeam, let me be your tiger lily, fondle your follicles, aerate those thoughts and that body. You can sink your thick roots into my darkness, soak up my water as I supply you with sugar and starch. Swell within me and find your terra firma in my moist, meandering clay matter.
Wonderful read and write, Cress, and thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And she has such a beautiful reading voice, I just love her use of metaphor and imagery, and some really great, you know, I find that the beginning really makes me smile, with the humor in it. No, Mana Moore, I don't have a dirty mind, unless you mean dirt, as in soil, rich, deep, and fertile like loam, full of nutrients to feed foraging tubers, the soil of a garden where wild things thrive with a hot house. You know, I really like that she brings in imagery that is sensual, so that there's this kind of duality, like you can imagine the earth being the earth itself and the earth, the body of the earth, but you can also imagine it being the body of the earth of a lover, the earthly body of a lover. The foxgloves I slip on my fingers to caress the rugged bark of your muscle wood, and of meadows where I grow slithery, tickling my fancy flowers. You know, I think to me there's this real, like, this whole idea of touching the different textures of a lover's body, especially if you have a man who has a beard, or, you know, a slight, like, growth of a beard where you get that prickly feeling, but then there's, you know, the softness and smoothness of the arms, you know, the chest, or, you know, oftentimes chests have hair, but you know what I mean? Like, every different parts of the body, different feels to them. And I love the sense of exploration. You can sink your thick roots into my darkness, soak up my water as I supply you with sugar and starch, swell within me and find your terra firma in my moist, meandering clay matter. That is just, like I said, wonderful imagery and metaphors, great sensuality in the idea of, you know, two lovers who supply the nutrient of love and seduction to each other. So beautifully written and very well done. And obviously, since I'm the only one on the show right now, and I can't mute myself, so you may at a time hear my ferocious little dog happy barking. So I'm just going to type a quick little message. And all right, because I do not have the talent to type and talk at the same time. I also don't have the talent to chew gum and walk at the same time, but thankfully I don't need to, talk and or walk and chew gum at the same time for a show. So that is also a good thing. All right. So let's see what we have next. All right. And I do appreciate everyone who wrote for this show, is listening now, or, you know, will be listening later. Your poetry is, and your time is always greatly appreciated. And let's see what we have next. All right, here we go. Running Wild and Looking Pretty by Blue Leader One. And it goes like this. Lips soft and carmine, an ingenue no one knew, her innocence completely disarming and so completely dangerous. Hips subtle but definite, swaying, sinuous and fascinating, and so like gravity bends space and time. I tried to look away, not to notice. Somehow, every sight line seemed to lead back to her. It's fair to say I was crossing into the event horizon. What was her game? All I know for certain is she was the most beautiful crooked smile. She has an energy, and so I loved her immediately. Somehow I talked to her. I said, come to my place and talk about love. She laughed and hit me with that crooked smile. I see her dancing in the starshine, gossamer dress shimmering, a billion sparks to flying off, mystic universal music playing, her energy reaching me in waves of delight. And so the sky is fine, the music is fine, she is fine. And so am I with my lady dark, running wild and looking pretty, end poem. And what an amazing write by Blue Leader One. I really enjoyed the beauty of this dark sensuality. You know, what I liked is that it combined tidbits of science fiction with a kind of a noir feel to it. There was the way he describes the woman, like the curve of her hips and her smile and the way she had that game that she played, very much had a noir feel. But then he brings in like the idea of like gravity bends time and space. And it's fair to say I was crossing into the event horizon. You know, it would actually be interesting to find out if there is science fiction noir books or stories, and I'm sure there is, but that would actually be a really cool concept. You know, I think it would be really, like, this is one of those poems that it's so clever, it stands on its own, and yet I could see him giving these characters names and, you know, turning it into a storyline or bringing more parts into, you know, after this. I really like, and where she says, somehow I talked to her. I like that he brings the idea of being nervous of talking to someone. I said, come to my place and talk about love. She laughed and hit me with that crooked smile. You know, there's such a flirtatious moment there. I also like that this is about not only seeing the beauty of someone physically, but seeing the beauty of their spirit, the beauty of their energy, her energy reaching me in waves of delight. What wonderful lines there. Just absolutely beautifully written and very well done. And all right, let's see what we have next. All right, and like I always say, so much great poetry to choose from. And here we go. All right, and copying the link. Moseying back over to the room. And up next, we have Jetami Encore, I Love You Again, by Peter Allen. And he has provided us with a recording, so I will go ahead and push play.
Poem, Je t'aime encore, I love you again, I still love you. The air whispers with the thin scent of jasmine, echoes of your voice ride upon the waves of time. The naked sole of my living sandals searched for you. I walked 100 million steps to find you again, drew you a rose in the yellow and red light of the setting sun. Then time unwound quickly, like an uncoiling spring, to when a man dressed in grey called out to us. As the light slowly dimmed and the glowing door opened, with my final breath, an eternal vow to search for you, upon the green earth and among the multitude of silver stars. Then you appeared, as if from nowhere, like an ethereal apparition. But it is the rain and not my hands that touch your skin, the wind that ripples through your hair and not my fingers. And until they do, we meet when the black wings of night bid me sleep. Then you fly to me from the other side of my dream, resplendent in the multicolored feathers of your altered state, like the dreamy day we spoke in the language of Chopin and Massenet. When the verb love ignited our fertile imagination and the ardent pheromones of curiosity. Together with each other, we are the elixir of resurrection. You glow again in beauty splendor, and me in the vigor of youth. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Peter Allen. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I have to admit, I probably should not have read that title with the French and the English because I always sound, well, I don't know, I sound like I have marbles shoved in my mouth anytime I try to read French. But this is a stunning write. I really do enjoy listening to Peter's voice with that accent of his. It's so, it's just sexy. What can I say? And he wrote, "To the power of imagination makes us infinite." And I love the imagery that he brings in here, the jasmine and the scent of it. I like how this has that really strong sense of longing for somebody, And let's see here, so many wonderful lines all the way through, but I'm particularly drawn to... then you appeared as if from nowhere, like an ethereal apparition, but it is in the rain and not my hands that touch, but it is the rain and not my hands that touch your skin, the wind that ripples through your hair and not my fingers. And until they do, we meet when the black wings of night bid me sleep, when you fly to me from the other side of my dream. It's very similar in tone to Weaver's, in that you can feel that there is a sense of loss, a sense of longing. I really like that he brings the classic music in. The dreamy day we spoke in the language of Chopin and Massenet. Now, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever heard Massenet's music, so I'll have to listen to it. But, of course, I have listened to and truly appreciate Chopin. And when the verb love ignited our fertile imagination and the ardent pheromones of curiosity, I like those lines because they capture why I wanted to do a show on imagination and curiosity for the art of seduction, which, to me, it's such, I think lovers need to be constantly, exploring, they need to be constantly curious about trying new things, about sharing their sensual imaginations. And I think that line there touches on that thought well. Like I said, this is very emotive and has such a stunning use of imagery. So very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Oh, yes, I think I had already grabbed the next one. So I'm just that much on the ball. And all right. Up next, we have some people just make me laugh. All right. And up next we have Mobius Strip. And it goes, or I'm sorry, Mobius Strip Kiss. And it goes like, by Forgotten Dreams. And it goes like this. When husky voice and trembling lips met mine, stars crashed to earth like early spring rain, coating us in dewy celestial dust, bodies twisted, glowing like the beginnings of planets. We swallowed galaxies, new worlds taking root in fledgling guts, vining ardor, wrapping around rib cages and up spines, blossoming in radiant eyes. Years passed into crumbling structures, the fortress of us fading like overgrown ruins. Outside, invaders choking the stellar garden we cultivated. But an unbounded kiss loops like a record in another dimension playing our song. Fingers still braided, cheeks pressed, temples pulsing, sighs mingling together. End poem. And, you know, I always, always enjoy and appreciate Forgotten Dreams poetry. She really has just really emotive write, a strong use of imagery and metaphors. You know, I wasn't really 100% sure how to pronounce that word Mobius because I noticed it has an umlauted O. And I remember from many years ago in German class, many, many years ago from German class in high school, that umlauted vowels, you shaped your mouth in an O, and then you made the O sound. But that's been way too long. And I am going to have to actually look that word up because I'm not really sure what it means, which is great because I love the opportunity to learn. I just can't look it up right now. Anytime, like I said, I get the opportunity to learn, I'm very excited. One of the things, that I really like about Forgotten Dreams poetry is there's always this nostalgic tenderness to it along with the sensuality. I also like that she tends to use celestial, imagery. There's certain things that when it comes to sensuality, I love. I love nature imagery. I love music. I love dancing. I love food. There's certain things that you can use for metaphor and illusion that to me speaks volumes. This has wonderful sensuality in coating us in dewy celestial dust, bodies twisted, glowing like the beginnings of planets. There's a serious message in this where it says, years passed into crumbling structures, the fortress of us fading like overgrown ruins, outside invaders choking the stellar garden we cultivated. You know, so oftentimes we cultivate a relationship And then we let outside forces interfere with that relationship, that down the connection that we had. And I like, though, that the end has that nostalgic feel. Fingers still braid, cheeks pressed, temples pulse and sighs mingling together. And I really like that she put the word together at the end, hanging off by itself, because I think there's a symbolism in having the word together by itself, like just being there for each other and not letting the rest of the world consume too much of your time. So wonderful, right? And very well done. And all right, let's see what we have next. And all right. Now, up next, we have actually, I'm thinking here. Sorry. Here we go. Sometimes the thinking process isn't as quick as I'd like it to be, but that's all right. All right. And we have Desire by L.M. Samurai, and it goes like this. I am a pan walking in the woods tonight, almost as dark as the Samiramis eyes. If only I could be swallowed by you, I would become a giant en route to Olympus. If only I could be swallowed up by you, your touch would make me forget that I still exist. On my knees, praying, begging, cursing. Vainly, the bird I am cannot fly backwards. Like a satiated arrow, taste me of Plato's plate. Crush me with oaken fingertips, and with the milk of mother, finish my body. End poem. That is a stunning, sensual brevity. And she chose, and she was the first one to choose this prompt, what to leave up to the reader's imagination. And I think she did a wonderful job of that, because she alludes and hints at the physical act of love and sexiness and sensuality, but she does it in such a way that the reader must fill in with their imaginations. And I think that she was particularly beautiful. I don't know what Samurai-ness eyes are, so that is another thing I will have to look up to learn more. I do like the pan reference, god of the woods and the animals, who was known for his sexual appetite. I like how there's such a sense of an aching desire, on my knees, praying, begging, cursing. Vainly, the bird I am cannot fly backwards. That is just a really thoughtful line in the idea of wanting to go back to someone. If I remember right, Eero is a type of, I could be wrong though, but I thought it was a type of mold, but that really, I don't know if that would necessarily fit. What I'm going to do? I'm just going to really quick here check something, because, now that I said it out loud, I just absolutely have to check what the definition of Eero is. All right. Because I'm probably, apparently if you look up the word Eero, you get all kinds of options for looking at erotic X-rated videos, Well, thank goodness I have that. Eero is actually an acronym. Eero is an acronym. Enjoyable, relevant, organized, thematic. I'll have to figure out what it was that I was thinking of that is similar to that, that is a type of a mold. Huh. So now this definitely has me thinking, but like I said, wonderful sensuality, beautiful sense of longing, of needing to be held tight in someone's grasp, and so wonderful, right, and very well done. All right. And all right. And be here. All right. Well, it looks like pretty soon I will have somebody joining me. So that is good. That is good. In fact, you know what? I might actually just do a little bit of talking and promoting upcoming shows. Because, you know, I don't have a whole lot of rights left, so it'd be nice, have somebody, who can comment with me so while I'm waiting for, Afasiana to call in, which I greatly appreciate, I'm going to go ahead and go to contests and let you know. Well, first of all, I want to let you know that please make sure to check out all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses. Because you're sure to find something to inspire. Now, tomorrow we have a double helix, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And their topic is community. Afasiana is running that contest, and it's opened on topic pre-writes. For Fridays after midnight show, I have the topic for Break On Through. I have the topic of poetry inspired by the artwork of Shang Sam Hsai. I also have an after midnight contest, but that's for a week from Tuesday. Rex is going to be running, Intimidus Rex is going to be running the contest for this coming after midnight, though he does not have it up yet, which is fine. I'm sure once he gets it up, he'll get plenty of rights. But for Sunday's Rhythm and Rhyme show, make sure to check out Rex's contest that he is running. It is the music of Tom Snyder. You can be inspired by the song, the lyrics of the song, and I think it's a really great choice because it's a wonderful choice it's someone I'd never heard before. So I'm looking forward to listening and delving into the song lyrics. But from what I can tell and what I've heard, he very much is in a storytelling. He does a lot of a style of folk music song that tells a story. And many of his songs have a humor to them. You know, they're fun. And I think there's something that many people can relate to. So I know that one and the contest that Afasiana is running on community both need rights. I also know that for next week's In Our Craft, Our Song and Art, Richard Wiseman and Newton Baum are running a contest for inspired by with quotes from William Butler Yeats. which I think is a great choice. You know, like I said, you know, I mean, and you know, I'm just plenty for inspiration, you know, and if you find that the shows that have specific topics don't really work for you, then what I recommend is checking out Friday's 10 p.m. show, Open Poetry with Fill My Eyes, because then you can share, you know, your work that didn't really fit for any other show, but you want to make sure it gets shared. All right. Well, I've pretty much said all I can about the Late Night Poets shows, some upcoming shows, and, you know, encouraged people. So I am going to go ahead and move on to a next poem. And, you know, hopefully while I'm reading that poem or while that poem is being read, you know, Aphasiana is going to call in. And so see what we have here. All right. Do-do-do. All right. Up next, we have Erogenous Zone by Mark Loopy, and it goes like this. Don't know where to begin. Somebody else, please dress the mannequin and drape in jewels whose glitterings make my own head hurt, my spirit ache, and twist around desires chopping me up in broken sighs. Fortunately, there's society and the real reality TV that will sell the commodities to soothe lust, my organic disease that brings me always to my knees and makes me stare and long and gape at each parading sequin shape that doesn't bear the label ape. End poem. And, you know, this is a, you know, it's a clever and it's a fun write. He wrote to the most erogenous zone is the imagination. You know, I like the irony in this, you know, I like the irony in this, right? There's that kind of, you know, like kind of dark, twisted humor. You know, the beginning mentioning the mannequins, you know, makes me think of like when I, and again, many, many years ago when I took a class trip to Germany in high school, and at the airport there were stores, and at the stores there were mannequins with their nipples, with defined nipples. And me being from a small town in Wisconsin had never seen mannequins be anything but completely smooth. So that had nothing to do with the poem other than that's the thought that the beginning triggered. You know, another interesting tidbit is that the middle part with the end part with the idea of reality TV to soothe the organic disease of lust. It really makes me think about how Kellogg's Corn Flakes was actually originally marketed as an anti-masturbatory, and I probably struggled over that, but an anti-lust. It was believed that if you suffered too much from lust, you should eat cornflakes because it would calm things down. And so anyways, just another tidbit there. But I really enjoy Mark's writing. It's great rhyme and flow, a wonderful, you know, professional feel to it, biting, sardonic humor. You know, and I like that he takes a jab at consumerism and reality TV. So very well done. And I'd like to say welcome to Aphasiana. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you could join me.
Hi, Pam.
So, how are you doing?
Good. I enjoyed the poem. I liked Desire's Skype. I thought that was nice. And I like in his AN where he says, I'll stop and check out the cable ads for Viagra and such. At least they make sense. As if, you know, those advertisements are more truthful in some ways than the actual, the shows. I thought that was funny.
That was. I have to agree with you. It was definitely quite humorous. And, yep, you're right. A lot of times, there is not a whole lot of reality in those reality shows. So, all right. So, let's see what we have next. Okay, here's what I am going to do. I am going to put up Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank's poem. But Frank, I know you're listening in. I know you're hanging on the board in Late Night Poets, so I'm going to put your poem up and play your SoundCloud, but you are not going to run off. You are going to stay on the board making comments. Capiche? All right. I hope he takes me seriously. All right. So... And of course, I appreciate, as I said, Frank and Phil both hanging on the boards. And up next, we have The Flash of Your Nudity by Poetic Picasso. And we have a recording for that. So here we go. Okay, I know it's here. There we go.
You are the silhouette of an exotic dancer with your delicious curves, a seductive pose of the display of the culminality of your eroticism, an image pressed onto the surface of a chemical attraction, tempting me to see what my eyes could unveil with my curiosity, so penetrating. Is the way you look at me with your playful wink, the lustful tears of a passionate woman that craves a sinful lover in the private setting of a daring game of a naughty fetish where I want to discover the steaming secrets of your pleasures. I'm hypnotized by the inherent beauty of your sparkling smile, induced by the magnet of your luscious lips, enticing me. My imagination runs wild, like an intensity of a burning flame. I want to be the photographer, to inscribe my kisses onto your soft skin. Let me be immersed in the flash of your nudity afterwards. Be drawn into the pixels of your geodress figure of fantasy, tantalized by the desirable appeal in your sexy look and strut. As I capture the voluptuity of your image and my inquisitive camera, you are so loco per ver tu foto, licencia tu persuasión. I am crazy to see your photo, the essence of your persuasion. Ole. Ole. Independence.
Oh my. Frank. That was a very intense reading of this. Oh, your music is still going. Sorry to interrupt that. I liked a lot of the word choices in this. Even just like delicious curves just makes it emphasize the you know, the allure of her shape. I like pointing out the chemical attraction, that it's like such an intense chemistry. Where is it now? There was a part. Where is it? Induced by the magnet of your luscious lips, enticing me. I like that it's the magnet, that irresistible kind of pull towards there. Magnet's a good word to use there. And I also like the alliteration of the luscious lips. L is one of those letters that really works well in alliteration. And then when you're talking about, like, the pixels of her, because you want to capture it in the photo, and it's more than just the way that she looks. It's also the movement, the strut, the wink, the attitude is a big part of the sexiness. And I like that it goes into more than just at a glance. Even though it's talking about taking a picture, it's taking a picture that captures that teasing kind of feeling that you're getting from this. So I thought this was really well done. It definitely captures the attention.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you. It does capture the attention. And I, too, like that he brought up the, as you said, Faziana, the magnetism. You know, as I always say with Frank's poetry, muy caliente. This is beautifully written. I enjoy the use of the couplets, and even though they're not rhyming couplets, they have a really nice flow to them, a kind of a meter. Like, I don't know if it's an exact meter, but it just reads nicely. I really thought, as far as with the idea of imagination and curiosity being the topic, he started off right away getting into that. You are this, like, even the title itself, in the flash of your nudity, you're not looking at somebody full frontal, you know, seeing them completely naked in broad light. There's that, it's that flash of nudity, the silhouette of an exotic dancer. So there is so much left up to the imagination. And you're right, Faziana. I too really like that he brought up the chemical attraction. Let's see, where else? In the private setting of a daring game of a naughty fetish, when I want to discover the steaming secrets of your pleasures, I am hypnotized by the inherent beauty of your sparkling smile, induced by the magnet of your luscious lips enticing me. I really like that. And I like that he brought in the photographer, because it worked really well with that prompt, which I believe was prompt 11, was the one about, you know, I like pictures that leave something up to the imagination. So great bringing in that prompt. I want to be the photographer to inscribe my kisses on your soft skin. You know, I think, you know, and, you know, maybe it's because of Leonardo DiCaprio in, Titanic, but I think there would be something just so beautifully sensual about somebody either drawing or painting you, or even in this case, taking your picture. I think to have someone so, you know, and, you know, intensely focused on you alone, you know, to capture your form in a photograph would be a deeply personal and sensual moment shared. So just an excellent write by Frank, and I'm very glad that he was inspired. And let's see, what do we have next? Do-do-do. That is a good question. Did that one? Aha, here we go. And up next, we have Sensuality and the Flow of Water by Maria Dark. And will you give that a read, please, Daisy?
Yes. Sensuality and the Flow of Water by Maria Dark. Cooling impetuosity. Cooling impetuosity with the sensuous flow of water. Over your pores, whirls of glistening drops, crystal clear of pearly teeth bites, teasingly nipping, playfully intent, heating the blood, waterfalls in scintillating curtains and sword strokes, carving out streams of mirrored glass, and variegated images swiftly flowing, here then swept away in axial symmetries imprinted on my soul. As naked as kisses on arched neck, moist as tears squeezed in ecstasy, etched out in intensive moments in a formula and symbols of raindrops, water droplets in runnels, perspiration across your undulating skin, gentle emanations rising and falling like breathing. I follow the whispers of contentment, venerated with the solemnity of spent energies, spores of emotion and mewling sighs, bedsheets tossed and turned in rooms, girls enshrined, sex venerated, asleep with hands clasped over breasts, dreaming in contented shadow, and stockings draped on chairs, silk undergarments strewn like idle thoughts, organic and forgotten. I trace their dreaming thoughts, opening windows to let the sunshine illuminate them, simple memorials, eyelids fluttering. I peek about, unhindered. There is a sound, like the breaking of a covenant, a stretching of limbs, outlining flesh on bone, curvatures and yawns among a field of kisses, wheat stalks swaying gently. I look and listen, half asleep, with the susurrus of her breath on my skin. I squint, embracing a waking world, and I slowly close my eyes, shutting the room out. I am drifting in warm waters, coasting on a dreaming tide, carrying me out to sea. It is like swimming upstream to spawn, a hurricane urge, implacable as sex and death. I feel the flow of water in vexatious tenabulation across my bones. End poem.
Wonderful read of Faviana, and what a beautiful write by Maria Dark. Wonderful use of imagery and metaphors. I'm trying to, grasp, because it's wonderful all the way through, but there's certain parts that stand out more to me. I really like the use of the flow and the sensuality of water. Let's see here. Crystal clear of pearly white bites. Teasing, nipping, playfully intent, heating the blood, waterfalls and scintillating curtains and sword strokes. You just get the feeling of the way lovemaking intensifies. I really like also the phrase imprinted on my soul, as naked as kisses on an arched neck, moist as tears squeezed in ecstasy. I like the idea of being moved to tears, and I like the idea of that exposed and naked soul. It's not just the body that's exposed, but the soul itself, that raw honesty. I trace the dreaming thoughts, opening windows to let the sunshine illuminate them, simple memorials, eyelids fluttering. I peek about unhindered. There's a sound like the breaking of a covenant, a stretching of limbs, outlining flesh to bone. Those are extremely emotive and almost, to me, sad lines. The idea of opening your eyes, and suddenly realizing that you're alone. I also really like the use of the word tenabulation, across my bones, and a hurricane urge. I think that's the type of imagery that really just sings to the depth of the love and pain that's felt, you know, within these lines. So beautifully written and very well done. And Faisy, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I tripped up on quite a few words. Great vocabulary in here, but I feel like I wasn't quite prepared. I should have pre-read. Some tongue twisting going on, but in a good way. I thought that it had really interesting, unique images going on there. I liked when it was talking about the dreaming, dreaming in contented shadow, and then also it goes into the light not long after that. I trace their dreaming thoughts, opening windows to let the sunshine illuminate them. So I think that could be in two ways. So on the one hand, the people are sleeping and you open up the blinds and you kind of bring the day to them. But I kind of thought about it as opening the windows of their mind and letting them see more positive thoughts, bringing the light into those dreams where they had been content in the shadows, show them a brighter way, whatever that may be. I also liked the way that it's talking about, like, the curvatures and yawns among a field of kisses. That's such a great line. And there is kind of, like, a thing when someone's, like, yawning and stretching, you can really kind of see their silhouette, depending on, like, the angle, of course. But, like, it's one thing that, like, kind of emphasizes the body when they have that stretching moment. So to have like a whole bunch of people, all of these women who had their hands clasped over their breasts are now stretching into the morning, and just a field of kisses. It's everything that is, I don't know, there's just, it seems like there's a lot of beauty there. But you mentioned that there's a sadness, and it does feel like that. There is that, the solemnity, there is a dark kind of feeling in this, but it has so much beautiful imagery. It was just beautiful.
It really was, and you're right. Yeah, it certainly does have beautiful imagery. And I like how you mentioned that one part has the feel, the look of, like, you know, somebody stretching out their body, you know, so great observation there. And, all right, let's see what we have next. All right, up next, oops, not that one. All right, gotta go grab one and do. All right, here we go. All right. Up next, we have Fascinating Fastenings by Captain B2, and we have a recording for that one, so I'm going to mosey on over to the studio and push play.
Fascinating Fastenings, poem. I stare at the hollow at the base of your throat, mesmerized by the wisps of silver hair escaping over the top button of your open collar. Those fascinating fastenings beckoning to me to explore passion's playground. Your décolleté suggesting uncharted landscape, I find myself wondering where the foliage ends, if it ends. Eager explorer of mysterious unknown worlds, I want to circumnavigate your tantalizing topography. The abundant application of liberating libation has loosened my libidinous line of thought and has brought me here to this moment, staring down a platoon of buttons poised to advance. Attempting to control with every breath the desire to assault those barriers to my impetuosity and to satisfy my curiosity without censure, investigating foreign vistas, dark continents. I long to envelop you in my exploration, to flout the conventionality that condemns risk. Let the judgmental multitude watch in gape-jawed amazement and wonder while I shamelessly lavish my attentions on you, while I shamelessly lavish my intentions on you. For you to be the deserving, the desirable object of my exploration and adulation. Like adventurers discovering strange foreign lands this night, passion's pilgrims discover new frontiers, traveling seductive summits and provocative plateaus, we conquer tender territories and gentle geographies. Tonight, let us ride my imagination into rapture, a flight of fantasy journeying a sea of sensuality. Let the universe stare in stunned silence as we lay all my erotic imaginings bare. Magellan only explored the world. We will reveal the sacred secrets of the cosmos. In a glorious, joyous, Homeric confluence that begins as I unfasten the very first button. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Bobby. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I really like how, she did a wonderful job with the theme of the contest being imagination and curiosity. And I see she wrote two prompts, 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, and 12, which I like that she took inspiration from multiple prompts. And, you know, I like that this whole thing is so deeply seductive and sensual without there being a whole lot of touching. In fact, the end is just the unfastening that very first button. And I do think there is a certain, just sexiness to do undoing buttons, you know, slowly. I like how she makes references to the explorer Magellan and how he explored the world, but, you know, we are going to explore, you know, and I have to find the exact lines here. Magellan only explored the world. We will reveal the sacred secrets of the cosmos because, you know, the idea that between the act of lovemaking is something that is sacred. I really also like attempting control with every breath the desire to assault those barriers to my impetuosity and to satisfy my curiosity without censure, investigating foreign vistas, dark continents. I long to envelop you in my exploration. You know, there's just such a really strong sense of really wanting somebody, but keeping yourself under control so that the sensuality will be taken slow and purposeful. I also really liked that she used the word circumnavigate and the phrase tantalizing topography. You know, wonderful word choices, a great consistency with a theme of exploration and references to like the earth and to exploring. So beautifully written and very well done. And Faizy, your thoughts?
I love this so much, especially the second stanza. I find myself wondering where the foliage ends, if it ends. Eager explorer of mysterious unknown worlds, I want to circumnavigate your tantalizing topography. I love that she refers to the hair as foliage. And there is something about, like, where you just get a little peek of something that sparks the imagination to wonder what else is under there. I've often felt that way about tattoos. You know, if there's, like, just a little bit of a tattoo peeking out, I'm like, okay, so what is that? How far does it go? How does it shape around the body? Like, I have a thing about tattoos. But yeah, if there's something that's like just showing a little bit, then it creates that curiosity. And I think she really did that well, where there's just that little tuft of hair that she can see, and it makes her want to know what else is going on under there. I like that she uses her military language, because we know that she was in the military, so it has, like, the platoon of buttons, and she has a very unique way of writing, and I really appreciate that. This is very Bobby. The whole thing just has her voice, and I don't mean, like, her, what she sounds like, even though she did an amazing job at that, but it's just her writing voice really shines through, and I love it. Despite the fact that she's, like, so strong and, like, very, like, she's the dominating woman here, she still is, like, her jaw is just, like, agape in wonder at how, like, amazing this person is. And then, where is it? Traveling seductive summits and provocative plateaus, we conquer tender territories and gentle geographies. I love those lines, exploring the shapes and the, just everything about the body. But the words that she uses are so great. I mean, like, there's the alliteration, but more than that, it's just the word choice is just so fantastic. Where is it now? I also like the Homeric confluence reference. So, like, it's like, you know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, there's this exploration of, like, the whole, like, I'm just thinking about Odysseus on his boat, exploring all the different mythological kind of adventures, and it's just so epic. This man in front of her is so epic that it's creating this, like, amazing imagination. I love that it ends with all of this being just in the time where she's unfastening that very first, all just curiosity and anticipation. And I don't know, I think it's sexier that she leaves it there rather than, you know, going into the crude details. I like having it still have that imagination, because it's talking about her imagination, but it also leaves us to our imagination of what's going to happen after that.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment and observations, because you're right. I have to agree with you. It is nice to have it left at where just the first button is being unbuttoned, and it's left to our imaginations. So, excellent comment. And up next, we have A La Prima by Kay Heartless, and Faisy, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. A La Prima by Kay Heartless. A pinch of pink nipple, blush of skin, rippled flesh swollen in a sweltering summer field, melons warm, beaming, their sweet, enslaved aroma, ripe for picking. I take all my dates to the National Gallery, curate their tastes, satiate my curiosity, hang in my mind's gallery whatever masterpieces our combined imaginations fancy. For sex is an art, and I prefer to foreplay well-dressed. In the 18th century, hands firmly grip the rod, peaches spill from a linen blouse, our whispers among well-decorated walls. If the date makes an impression, the 19th century sprints in our direction, hoisting flags with open shirts, cards and absinthe, picnic beside your propositions, posing before kissing. And if we survive the gleaning, we will circle round the sculpture garden, a tactile playground, admire through touch the contrapposto hollows, test our toes in an arching fountain, and try to guess which poise best fits our figures. For who knows? The art we later make may spark a revolution. End poem.
Wonderful, baby, and I just really enjoy Embrace Right by Kay Hartless. She wrote to the quote, art is the sex of the imagination, and I think she did a spot-on job with this. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like how she takes us through the different time periods of art and representing the different aspects of where a relationship and where the emotional and the physical parts of a relationship are going to go. I really love the imagery of the melons warm, beaming their sweet and slayed aroma ripe for picking. Because, you know, that fresh, warm melon scent is actually so sensual in itself. And for sex as an art, I prefer to foreplay well-dressed in the 18th century. You know, just the idea of, I want some, it feels like me of wanting a lover who knows what they're doing. Nice phrasing between, like, and if we survive the gleaning, if we survive the test, it feels like we will circle around to the sculpture garden, a tactile playground, admire through touch. Wow, I love how this has a buildup of intensity, and yet the imagery oftentimes remains, it's subtle and yet it's not subtle, you know. It's hard for me to say the exact words, but I really appreciate the beauty of her phrasing. Well, wonderful, sensual, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Faisy?
I love it. First of all, going to an art gallery with a date, love it. It makes me miss living in Ottawa. There's so many museums and art galleries there. I used to, like, basically live at them. There's something really special about that, and I love the way that it uses the different time periods in the art, like you said, to kind of talk about the different stages that you're going through with the person. I really loved the phrasing of peaches spill from a linen blouse. There is something so sexy about that, like the way that the breasts appear as the peaches spilling from the blouse. And there's this kind of like formality to the close of the 18th century that makes it so when it evolves to your open shirts of the 19th century, it's like more of a great reveal because you're very buttoned up and then you're not. I like that it is that build up. I think you said that it builds up as you go, and it really does. How it escalates to when you're in the sculpture garden, now you're not just looking at each other. And you're not just looking at the art, you're experiencing everything in a tactile way. And there's something really sensual about the way that this is all worded. It's an adventure, it really sparks the imagination. And then the art we later make, as in, the sex that they will have later, probably, is revolutionary and, creates a whole new category of art. I love the way that this unfolded, and it's very creative. It's a a unique take on the prompt, and it's just wonderful.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And our last poem for the night will be Explorer by Cedar Chapman, and it goes like this. Let us go to the northern lights, both you and I, as I guide an iceberg down your face, fire and cold meld together, and dewy drops flow, pooling in your clavicle like a cerulean crystal lake. I slurp the clear water. It tastes decadent and sinful. Let me explore each body part like a seasoned cartographer, stroking every imperfection. My fingers guide like a compass, sort of feel your fault lines. The metal is supple and milky white. Its nectar perfumes the air, and I gorge on its sweet, fleshy fruit. Allow the ice cube clenched in my teeth to chart every nook, every crevice, to trace each longitude and each latitude, searching for pleasure as your thighs quake and the wind rages and moans. It carries me south with ice melts like frenzied mountain falls, and I frantically lick the sweet ocean runoff. Then, and only then, shall it be done. I have mapped perfection and poem. And what a stunning central, right? Brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really like that he wrote to Curiosity is the Lust of the Mind by Thomas Hobbes. I really like, again, that this is another right that brings in the idea of exploration. You know, that second stanza, I think, is my absolute favorite, that starts with, let me explore each body part like a seasoned cartographer, and then has the meadow supple and milky white. Its nectar perfumes the air, and I gorge on its sweet, fleshy fruit. Wonderful line there. Wonderful, intense sense of lust and desire and the need to explore a lover's body. So beautifully written, very well done. And Faisy, your thoughts?
Oh, it was awesome. I had goosebumps. Just really intriguing, right? I liked the exploration and, like a seasoned cartographer stroking every imperfection, my fingers a guide like a compass, because even the imperfections are not imperfections at that point. You know, I'm thinking of like little freckles and just like the small details that the person themselves might see as an imperfection, but actually it's what makes them unique and beautiful, and just noting all of those little bits of them that make them who they are. I liked the nature imagery. Again, we have people describing in fruit terms, the sweet, fleshy fruit. The ice cube was really well done. And charting the nooks and crevices is really great. I liked that it was looking for the fault lines, because it's like, the things that could cause the earthquake, and then eventually the thighs do quake because those fault lines have been found, those sensual zones. I like the idea of them being called fault lines. It's like looking for that eruption. And the ice does melt. The frenzied mountain falls, and then the sweet ocean runoff. I mean, like, so much incredible nature imagery that just is intensely sensual. Well done.
Absolutely, and great comment. And due to tech